Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, 'cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes
in my... You are tuned into Healing for the Nations with your host, modern-day Samaritan woman, Laura Lee. Laura Lee is a no-nonsense warrior who is a credentialed substance abuse counselor with a degree in counseling. Understanding the heart issues in our lives, she herself is a trauma survivor and former addict, recovering in the image of our Messiah. It's time to apply the soothing balm of the Word to our hearts as Laura Lee brings us Healing for the Nations.
Welcome to Healing for the Nations with a modern-day Samaritan woman. I am broadcasting from sunny Florida. We are on a journey together to the heart of our Father. On our way, we are preparing our wedding attire for the soon return of the bridegroom for the great marriage feast of the Lamb. Many of us have spots and wrinkles that need to be attended to. I need your help to point out the spots and the wrinkles on my wedding attire, and maybe I can help you with yours. It is a we program. But first, we need to take the log out of our own eye so that we can help our brothers and our sisters with a splinter in their eye. So here on Healing for the Nations, we use the 12 Steps of Recovery as our pathway guide, and the Book of Nehemiah as our template. Last week, we discussed Step 4 of the 12 Steps of Recovery. We've been taking an inventory of how we are doing as a body of the Messiah in regards to taking care of the wounded lambs within our sheepfold. We have been exploring various aspects of woundedness and also sheep behavior. Since so many of us have come from addictive family systems and or dysfunctional families, it doesn't necessarily have to be active drug addiction or alcohol drinking in our families to be considered dysfunctional. We have been exploring the various rules and roles of those systems, the don't talk, don't feel, don't trust, and don't think rules that are unspoken, and that so many of us are still living out in our adult lives. There is a saying in the 12-step community, we are only as sick as our secrets. And since our salvation is based on forgiveness from our sins, and also, of course, the shedding of the blood by the Mashiach, Teshuvah is imperative. Taking a four-step inventory is like that. It is preparing ourselves for that great work of Teshuvah, repentance. And then there is step 5, confessing our sins to God and to another human being. There is great freedom in the 12-step process. Freedom and forgiveness is brought forth through these steps. So let's recap some of last week. I shared a writing on widows and orphans. And so I will share that reading again for those of you that did not tune in to the last program. So this is widows and orphans. I'm here, send me. That was roughly 20 years ago. He called me to tell the truth. I am called to be a truth teller, like Edward Snowden, infamous whistleblower. I pretty much lost everything also. It costs much to follow Yeshua, the Messiah. To tell the truth, it's a lonely journey with not many friends or people that get you or why you are sharing so much of your dirty laundry. Why not just move on? Forget the past. Forgive and forget. I can't. Forgive and forget and move on? Forgive? Yes. But forget? Sorry. I cannot do that. Move on? Yes. I am moving on at His leading, at His direction, at His beckoning. I am called to tell the truth, a voice crying in the wilderness. There are other voices crying out in their own wilderness. Can you hear them? Crying, pleading for help with their eyes to anyone who will notice? Those are the voices of the women and children, the widows and the orphans that have been abused, abandoned by the church. Many sit week after week in the churches and synagogues. Many will sit quiet, like submissive wives. Some will smile. Some will tell you that they are fine. All the while, she is lying to the world, but mostly to herself, to protect herself from the wrath that would come from the captor, her husband. And I am not saying that women cannot be the abuser, by the way. When a person finally cries out for help, the abuse has most likely come to a place where she fears for her life and the life of her children. Widows and orphans crying alone in the desert of their despair. We who have escaped, we are angry, we are frustrated, and we are fed up. And why wouldn't we be? We have been told for generations to just forget the past and move on. Forgive. Stop being a victim. Stop being dramatic. A drama queen, as some would call it. Shut up and be quiet. Obey the word. Women are not to teach or preach. They are to be quiet, subservient, and to learn from the men. I will not be silent. I will speak out in behalf of widows and orphans, the bruised, the broken, the battered, the addicted, the afflicted, the invisible. I am here. Send me. The end. I also shared last week about my time at the Abide training in Orlando, here in Florida. I shared an interview that I did with Jennifer Jill Schwetzer, who is a licensed therapist in the state of Florida. I highly recommend Jennifer Jill, whether it is for counseling for marriage or individual, or training to become a coach yourself, or for your own personal growth as a pastor or a minister or a layperson. So I invite you to listen to the last show that I did for the interview that I did with Jennifer Jill, because at time we need to get started on the new program on spiritual widows and orphans. So I want to address this people group that is often overlooked. We as the body of the Messiah are commanded to provide care for these vulnerable members of the community. And I will be sharing scripture later on in the show about the care for widows and orphans. I found this really great website by a woman who goes by the name of, I'm probably butchering this name, forgive me, Akuas Kiki. And I just want to thank her for this incredible website, this blog that she put together for the spiritual widows. So I'm going to be sharing some of her writings. And here we go. The spiritual widow. Hope and help for those who have become spiritual widows, that they may continue in their walk of faith with hope and help. Our life must be characterized by doing good so that the Lord can continue helping us to see many of the wonderful ways to live a good life. The Lord can and will help us to see the many opportunities as they arise to truly do what is useful. Then, as long as we sincerely seek to do what is good, something miraculous can happen for us. Sunday, September 26, 2010, is when she wrote this. Situations that create a spiritual widow. Since I'm a woman, I am typing things from a woman's perspective, but want the men out there who deal with this to know I am here for you and recognize your hurts. I also recognize that some men may be spiritual widows. For men, it is often much more difficult to be a spiritual widow because they are supposed to be the spiritual leaders in the home. So it is automatically assumed that they did not fulfill their role. There are so many different and complex situations that may cause a woman of faith to become a spiritual widow, that it would be rather exhausting to list them all. For that reason, I am going to list the ones that I know of personally or have heard about most commonly. A spouse that is codependent on his wife, that he often acts like a child, having to be told to do things he should already know how to do, but must be reminded on a regular basis in order for them to be accomplished in a timely manner. Oftentimes, these are things that the wife cannot do for the husband, as these are things only the husband can do. Calling and enrolling the family in benefits through his employer, making his own medical appointments, etc. A spouse who has habitual sin, drugs, alcohol, or sexual addictions, and does not seek help for the sin, bringing about shame upon the family. a spouse who is physically, mentally, verbally, or emotionally abusive, therefore rendering themselves as spiritual abusers. A spouse who may have lost their faith, no longer reads their Bible, does not attend church, speaks and acts in mannerisms that are in conflict with the faith they claim to have, and treats his family differently in public than they do behind closed doors. A single woman who has had a spouse or partner to leave her the full and total responsibility of raising any children they may have had together, whether it is biological or through marriage. A single woman who has had to leave an abusive relationship and now finds herself doing all she can to raise her children up right, with no true support structure due to being ostracized within the church. And I want to add, a spiritual widow is those women or men that have been forced to leave their home due to various forms of destructive abuse, and they don't have children. There are many of us in those situations where perhaps we are left on disability because the level of abuse was so tremendous that it destroyed our health. Some of us have come out of situations where now that we are stronger, we are voices in the wilderness. We are truth tellers. We are being ostracized because of the people that are still operating and that don't talk, don't think, don't feel, and don't trust those unspoken rules that were so deeply ingrained in people, adults, when they were children. So we who are truth tellers, now that we are being open and honest and being called by Yahweh to speak about those unspeakable things that have happened behind closed doors, we are being ostracized. We are being persecuted by our brothers and sisters who call themselves believers in the Most High God. There are many of us coming forth, speaking our truth, speaking of our experiences. So back to her writing. While writing this, God spoke into my spirit as to some situations that men may deal with that I would like to share. And I want to interject that this is not all about women. It's a we program, we including men and women. We are in this war together, brothers and sisters. And it's a war. We are in a spiritual battle. So she says in her article, men may experience being a spiritual widow by being married to a woman who has a sexual addiction due to unresolved childhood sexual abuse issues, thereby committing adultery on a consistent basis. Men who may be married to someone who was previously abused, and the women don't want to repeat that situation in their lives and have difficulty coming under biblical submission to their husband as to the Lord. And I want to add, true submission. And that is, we are to be submitting one to another. The church needs to understand true biblical submission. Back to the article. Men may be a spiritual widow by a wife that has left them to live an alternative lifestyle because she has been subjected to psychotropic drugs and counselors, therapists who convinced them it was okay to try to see if they like it. And makes me wonder how many of those situations are out there with this huge movement of transgender, bisexuality, experimenting with lesbianism or homosexual lifestyles, this push to normalize this type of lifestyle. So she says also, while there may be more situations for men, these are the ones I know about and heard of. If any of you men would like me to post and share other experiences that have left you feeling like a spiritual widow as a man in the body of Christ, please email me and make the subject line male spiritual widows. So this is another person's blog, but I invite you, a listener, to go to my own blog on Facebook called Healing for the Nations with a Modern Day Samaritan Woman and reach out to me and let me see if I can help you, because there are resources that I have that you may not know of that may very well be helpful. And sometimes it helps just to share just to share with a safe person what you're going through. There's tremendous relief when we share our hurts and our pains and our sufferings with another human being. You know, it's really imperative that all of us know that we truly are not alone. And I know for me personally, so much of my walk, I have felt alone due to the rejection and the ostracizing from people. So I want to address the spiritual loneliness. I want to address the loneliness of spiritual widows. And once again, I share from her blog. She says, how does one fully explain the loneliness that is felt by a spiritual widow? Let me start by saying that it is not your standard form of loneliness. Most spiritual widows I have spoken to say it is difficult to discuss your feelings with those in the body of Christ because those with perfect homes have no possible way of understanding the depth of their loneliness. Many do not understand that the spiritual widow, whether the spouse is in the home or not, feel like they've been deserted. Not only are they missing out on the companionship once offered up freely by their spouse, but they also miss the companionship and fellowship that used to take place when she and her spouse were both active in the church. A spiritual widow will start to feel left out of couples programs because she is truly no longer a part of a couple due to the emotional and spiritual desertion and sometimes physical desertion by the spouse. Upon a husband withdrawing himself, the spiritual widow is instantly scrutinized and gossiped about. People will speculate as to why the head of the household is not coming to church. They will assume it is drugs, alcohol, or even another woman, a Jezebel, interfering with a relationship. Most will not reach out to the spiritual widow because they don't want to deal with her pain or the children's pain. Most do not want to look pain in the face and help them through the crisis or to be a support system for those obviously in need. It is often considered acceptable practice for a woman of the world to move on quickly if her man becomes physically, mentally, or emotionally detached from her. Women and young girls are taught in society that if he isn't doing right by you, then girl, you got to do right by yourself. Women of Christian faith, having virtue and honor, are not able to have this freedom, so-called freedom, as they know what God's word says and often find themselves on a very lonely journey down a road filled with many potholes, dark alleys, and deep crevices and valleys so far into the darkness that she is not sure she will ever find her way back into the light. And I can personally attest to you, brothers and sisters, that I know that pain and that loneliness. And it is a suffering and an agony that many of us cannot put in words. So next time you hear of a spiritual widow or know of one, to look into your heart. I urge you to look into your own heart. What are you doing to come alongside of the woman? And she says her own experiences as a spiritual widow. She says, I married someone who was my best friend in life, but not in faith. I married someone who was angry with God for the things that had happened in childhood and would not allow me to take our children to church. The marriage I had to my best friend fell apart, and that caused me to doubt God. I was mistreated in 3 different church congregations after my divorce, and it was implied that it was my fault for not being a Proverbs 31 woman. How many of us have been blamed and shamed for the divorces we have been forced to go through? She says, I was told I would never be good enough for any man to love, much less want to marry me. And I believed it. I was told that I was not fulfilling my roles as a proper Proverbs 31 woman if I did not do the things in accordance to what others thought I should be doing. I was led to believe that if I didn't act, say, or do all the right things, that I would go to hell for not serving God, by not being in servitude and submission to my spouse. I was misled in additional relationships that caused me to make choices that were not in accordance with God's will for my life. I avoided acknowledgement of God in any part of my life because I felt I couldn't trust men which meant I couldn't trust God. I allowed myself to believe I had to put up with things that I shouldn't have to if I was ever going to be considered an acceptable subsequent wife, as I failed the first time around. I found myself giving other women advice about their spiritually abusive relationships without realizing I was also talking about my own relationship. I found myself stuck in a rut that I couldn't find a way out of without subjecting myself to further abuse, but knowing that there was only one way out, and that was sacrificing the children in the home who had become spiritual orphans. There is a lot more I could list here. However, I think this is enough to give a background and reasons as why I know the experience is all too well that some of you currently are walking in. This is why I feel the title Spiritual Widow or Spiritual Orphan is an accurate description for those women and children within the body of Christ who have been abandoned by their spouses and parents who do not fulfill the roles they were given by God. When we come back, we're going to continue to look at the definitions of a spiritual orphan. Before we go on break, I'm going to share one more writing by this woman. What is the definition of a spiritual widow or spiritual orphan? She says, women tend to hold one another accountable more often. We follow through, we check up on one another, we ask about each other, and we lift one another up in prayer. Everyone is called to care for widows and orphans. The only question is how. There are many children who are spiritual orphans because they don't have Christian parents. Some women are embarrassed to come to church because they do not have a man who will come along. It may be helpful to think of these women as spiritual widows. You have some women that don't want to come to your church because they know your church stands for family values. Therefore, they think they won't be welcomed. We need to be united around the gospel and the deposit of truth given to us. We need to love one another. And even when we are not like one another, 2 Thessalonians 3 calls us to admonish as a brother. Don't give up on people because they aren't perfect. See yourself as a broken congregation that is learning from other family members that are broken people. In the providence of God, He had the Gentile churches take up an offering for the church in Jerusalem. Do not see yourself as the one fixing others. God is probably going to flip the situation and minister to you through them. Spiritual widows can come in many forms. Women who have come from abusive relationships. Women who have never before known Christ and don't have yet a relationship with Christ, as their marriage was not based on a foundation of Christ. Women who have known Christ but previously walked away due to choosing sin over following God. Women who are ashamed to come back into the fold because of previous choices. Women who have suffered severe and traumatic events, feeling unworthy as a result of those events in their lives. Women with multiple issues that they are overwhelmed and feeling like they will never get out of the hole they have dug themselves into. Spiritual orphans can be found in the following situations. In homes where neither parent is a Christian. In homes where parents have left the faith. In homes where one parent is active in the faith and the other parent has habitual sin. And I want to interject that habitual sin can be alcoholism, drug addiction, porn addiction, sexual sin, all sorts of things. In homes where there is no spiritual leader in the home. In homes where there is a variety of abuses taking place. Children who do not know how to deal with their situations and or are fearful that reporting to authorities will result in their family being torn apart. Proverbs 31:8-9 states, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy." I implore you to think about the needs of the women and children in your family, your church, and your community who may be spiritual widows and orphans. Reach out to them. Lift them up, encourage them, and offer hope. You may be the only person that helps them to see the love of the Messiah. I'm going to end there. We need to go on break. And when we come back, we are going to talk about spiritual orphans and how they become spiritual orphans. and how we can minister to them. But I also want to share many scriptures that may provide a clear picture of what we are commanded to do by the Father. So we'll be right back. Shalom.
Sometimes I lay under the moon. I thank God I'm breathing. And I pray, don't take me soon, cause I am here for a reason. Sometimes
in my... You are tuned in to Healing for the Nations with your host, modern-day Samaritan woman, Laura Lee. Laura Lee is a no-nonsense warrior who is a credentialed substance abuse counselor with a degree in counseling. Understanding the hard issues in our lives, she herself is a trauma survivor and former addict, recovering in the image of our Messiah. It's time to apply the soothing balm of the Word to our hearts as Laura Lee brings us Healing for the Nations.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Healing for the Nations with a Modern Day Samaritan Woman. Before we went on break, we were talking about spiritual widows, and we started talking about spiritual orphans. And we're going to continue to talk about spiritual orphans. And this doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual orphans. It can be orphans, children who have indeed lost their parents. So let's get started. This is taken from the same website that I was discussing earlier. She says, due to the social depravity of our nation, I am only going to discuss situations that I know of at this time, which occur within the body of the Messiah. I do recognize that there are tons of situations outside of the body of Christ which lead to spiritual orphans. At this time, my focus is on addressing the situations within the body of the Messiah. They'll leave children trying to learn and grow in God, Yahweh, while being abandoned physically, mentally, emotionally, and eventually spiritually. So this is a list that she has compiled, and this is not an exhaustive list by any means. When parents are spiritually sick or otherwise compromised, when the child becomes the caregiver, when the parent becomes the rebellious child with illness, when the child must acknowledge the lack of presence of one or both parents in their lives due to physical, mental, emotional, financial, or spiritual abandonment, when children who had parents setting the example for them when they were younger, but parents abandon their faith and their walk as the children get older, when parents decide that they want their will in their lives and do not care about the will of Yahweh, thereby setting a sad example of worldly selfishness and not that of serving God. Children in nasty custody situations in which parental alienation or hostile aggressive parenting takes place. Please note, she says, it is my opinion and the opinion of many others that parental alienation is child abuse as it is spiritual abuse. It takes priority and desires of the alienating parent above the needs of the child, and they attempt to make themselves an idol before the child, which also violates the first, second, and fifth commandments. Children who have been abandoned by a parent, they have left them physically, emotionally, financially, or spiritually to the world without someone to train up a child in the way they should go. God's word is very clear on the role of parents and their responsibilities to their children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:1-4. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Colossians 3:20-21. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen, or let them slip from your heart. as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words, so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land, and may teach them to their children. Deuteronomy 4, 9 and 10. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gate. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Be careful to obey all these regulations I am giving you, so that it may always go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and right in the eyes of the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 12, 28. By the scriptures listed above, it is very clear to see how God gives parents the role and responsibility of teaching them right from wrong and teaching them about God and living according to his word. When parents fail to do this, whether be due to lack of faith, choosing to leave the faith, or any multitude of situations, they are not fulfilling the role that God gave them when he provided them the blessing of being parents. Physical and child sexual abuse are also very harmful to a child, as it tells a child that the parent does not care for them, but for their own wants and desires in the flesh. The physical abuse tells the children that the parents do not love them enough to control their anger. Sexual abuse tells a child that the parent cares only about their fleshly desires. We must come together as a nation and start praying for our children, for they are our future. And if we, the body of the Messiah, do not start looking out for and praying for our children now, our nation will surely be lost. There is a poem that she includes that I want to share with you. This poem is written by Marion Wright Elderman. We pray for children who sneak popsicles before supper, who erase holes in math workbooks, who can never find their shoes. And we pray for those who stare at photographers from behind barbed wire, who can't bound down the street in a new pair of sneakers, who never counted potatoes, who are born in places we wouldn't be caught dead, who never go to the circus, who live in an X-rated world. We pray for children who bring us sticky kisses and fistfuls of dandelions, who hug us in a hurry and forget their lunch money. We pray for those who never get dessert, who have no safe blanket to drag behind them, who watch their parents watch them die, who can't find any bread to steal, who don't have any rooms to clean up, whose pictures aren't on anybody's dresser, whose monsters are real. We pray for children who spend all their allowance before Tuesday, who throw tantrums in the grocery store and pick at their food, who like ghost stories, who shove dirty clothes under the bed and never rinse out the tub, who get visits from the tooth fairy, who don't like to be kissed in front of the carpool, who squirm in church or a synagogue and scream on the phone, whose tears we sometimes laugh at, and whose smiles can make us cry. And we pray for those whose nightmares come in the daytime, who will eat anything, who will have never seen a dentist, who aren't spoiled by anybody, who go to bed hungry and cry themselves to sleep, who live and move and have no being. We pray for children who want to be carried and for those who must be carried, for those we never give up on and for those who don't get a second chance, for those we smother and for those who will grab the hand of anybody kind enough to offer it. Please, offer your hands to them so that no child is left behind because we did not act. Let us pray for our children on a daily basis and share a prayer together. Father Yahweh, we know we are fallible due to our own human nature. We recognize that we would not be able to raise our children up to serve and honor you without your guidance and your wisdom in our lives. At this time, Father Yahweh, we lift up our children and the children of this nation and the children of this world. We pray that each child would have a saving faith and a growing faith in you, Yahweh. We pray that they will be strong and healthy in mind, body, and spirit, a sense of destiny and purpose in accordance with your will for their lives, a desire for integrity and a call to excellence, to understand the ministry that you, Yahweh, have for them and their lives. We ask that you remind us to always set aside times to spend with them. We pray that they may acquire biblical wisdom that comes from knowing you and having a personal relationship with you. We ask that you may protect them from drugs, alcohol, premarital sex, sex traffickers, the drug cartel. There's so many dangers in this world, Father Yahweh, that we ask that you would tuck our children under your wings to protect them. We pray that the mate that you've chosen for them will have a strong walk and a close relationship with you so that they will not be unequally yoked. We pray that all they do may edify and glorify you. We ask that you also give them a forgiving heart and understanding that we as parents, we have made mistakes and we will make mistakes. And even when we are too prideful to apologize to them when we are wrong, may they love us as you love us and know in our hearts that we did not mean to intentionally hurt them. We ask that you always be present in their lives, for there will come a time when they will leave home and we won't be there for their daily steps, but that you will. We ask that they may know that they can always come to you at any time, and may they know that your lap is a very safe place for them when things are not going well. But even more amazing, it is a safe place for when their lives are going well. We ask this humbly in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. And I want to share this also, and I think this is really important. She writes a blog entitled, A Challenge to the Men in the Body of Christ. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. My anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with a sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children fatherless. Exodus 22:22-24. And that does sound rather harsh, but I think that this just expresses the importance that men must not take advantage of the widows and the orphans. And unfortunately, brothers and sisters, this has been going on for many, many years. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, unfortunately. So back to what she writes. This is a challenge for the men of the body of the Messiah. We, spiritual widows and orphans, need you to become active in helping the widows and orphans in the community, in whatever denomination you are in, whatever messianic congregation or synagogue you are part of, wherever you are, men of Yahweh, we need you. Religion that our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after widows and orphans in distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. James 1:27. We need you, men in the body of Christ, to reach out to the single women, the single mothers, the elderly, the lost, and the broken within our churches, our neighborhoods, and our communities. We need you to reach out to those who need assistance around the house, around the yard, fixing things, encouraging, listening, praying, etc. All we need you to do is to offer to help. We need you to put down the TV remote, stop watching so many sporting events, stop playing so many online games, Stop wasting your time sinning, watching pornography, clicking the mouse. We need you to stop chasing the things in this world and wasting your time. And we need you to get busy. You don't need to be organized. Just willing to help and to serve. If you find other men willing to help, then go before your church and offer your services to the congregation. Just get started. Your heart, your compassion, your generosity, and your service to the Lord is needed. Your help to the widowed and the fatherless is called for. I want to share a piece that I found, and I'm not quite sure what website this is from, but it's all about Christian service, serving others. What does the Bible have to say about helping needy people, the poor, the homeless, the orphans and the widows? Are there Bible passages which say we are supposed to have compassion and to be giving to the less fortunate? What biblical foundations are there for service to others? How to care for the poor? How are we to provide for the hungry? Here are instructions from the Bible. Looking for slogan for a promotion about helping the needy or feeding the poor? Use a phrase from one of these scripture verses as a slogan to promote helping others. Do not take advantage of a widow or an orphan. Exodus 22:22. Do not deny justice to your poor people and their lawsuits. Exodus 23:6. During the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. Exodus 23:11. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:10. Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. Leviticus 19:15. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 23:22. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, his nearest relative is to come and redeem what his countryman has sold. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. If one of your countrymen becomes poor among you and sells himself to you, do not make him work as a slave. Leviticus 25:25, 35:39. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. Deuteronomy 10:18. At the end of every 3 years, bring all the tithes of that year's produce and store it in your towns, so that the Levites and the aliens, the fatherless and the widows who live in your towns may come and eat and be satisfied. Deuteronomy 14:28-29. However, there should be no poor among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. Deuteronomy 15:4. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your brothers and toward the poor and needy in your land. Deuteronomy 15:11. Do not deprive the alien or the fatherless of justice, or take the cloak of the widow as a pledge. Deuteronomy 24:17. When you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you and all the works of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, Do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the alien, the fatherless, and the widow. Deuteronomy 24:19-21. If I have denied the desires of the poor, or let the eyes of the widow grow weary. Job 31:16. A father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy dwelling. Psalms 68:5. He will defend the afflicted among the people and save the children of the needy. He will crush the oppressor. Psalms 72:4. For he will deliver the needy who cry out, the afflicted who have no one to help. He will take pity on the weak and the needy and save the needy from death. Psalms 72:12-13. Do not let the oppressed retreat in disgrace. May the poor and needy praise your name. Psalms 74:21. Defend the cause of the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Psalms 82:3-4. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Psalms 112:9. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. Psalms 146:9. The Lord tears down the proud man's house, but he keeps the widow's boundaries intact. Proverbs 15:25. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done. Proverbs 19:17. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. Proverbs 22:9. He who gives to the poor will lack nothing, but he who closes his eyes to them receives many curses. Proverbs 28:27. The righteous care about justice for the poor, but the wicked have no such concern. Proverbs 29:7. Speak up and judge fairly. Defend the rights of the poor and needy. Proverbs 31:9. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. Proverbs 31:20. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Isaiah 1:17. To deprive the poor of their rights and withhold justice from the oppressed of my people, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. Isaiah 10:2. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall. Isaiah 25:4. Once more the humble will rejoice in the Lord. The needy will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 29:19. Is this not the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide the poor wanderer with shelter? When you see the naked, to clothe him and not turn away from your own flesh and blood. Isaiah 58:6-7. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Isaiah 61:1. If you do not oppress the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm. Jeremiah 7:6. This is what the Lord says. Do what is just and right. Rescue from the hand of his oppressor, the one who has been robbed. Do no wrong or violence to the alien, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place. Jeremiah 22:3. He defended the cause of the poor and the needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? Jeremiah 22:16. Father Yahweh, in the name above all names, we come to you. Father, we ask that you would forgive us for the ways in which we have failed our brothers and our sisters, the spiritual widows and the spiritual orphans. Father, we ask that you would anoint our eyes, that we can see with your eyes. We ask for the mind of the Mashiach. Father, give us ears to hear. Circumcise our heart. Circumcise our ears. Help us to have the heart of compassion. Father, show us the ways in which we can be your hands of mercy. Show us, Father, where we can come alongside of our hurting, wounded lambs and be the hands of mercy and grace so that we can love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Father, we ask that your love would flow through us. We ask, Father, that you would give us your mercy and your grace. Give us new heart and the mind of the Messiah, that we would do your will and we would truly become Ahad, one with you. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Father, we thank you that you would give us the word as a guidance, that you tell us how to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Until next time, brothers and sisters, I bid you shalom.